Please turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 14, or you can follow along with the text that's in your insert. Chapter 14, verses 1-14. It is a verse that we're going to deal with, verse 6, something with which we're all familiar, a verse quoted in evangelistic settings, and a verse that is well known by all believers, and so well known that I spent some time looking at Spurgeon's sermons, only to find out he never preached on this text, which is startling, at least from what I can tell. So I went to Lloyd-Jones and thought for sure he did, and he didn't. So I was beginning to wonder why I am, but it is God's word to us, and it is beneficial. Let us go to our God in prayer. Our Father, you have given us your everlasting truth. And we ask now, Lord, as we read it and give attention to it, that you might speak to us. As we study the names and titles of our Lord, may we see Christ better. May you increase our faith in him. May we find assurance, hope, life, joy in him alone. Lord, you alone can implant those truths in us. You alone can move and stir our hearts. No minister can, no man can. But, O Lord, when you send forth your Spirit, there is life and there is power. So, send your Spirit as we give attention to your truth. May the Word and Spirit come together for the glory of your name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Chapter 14, verses 1 to 14. I remind you, this is God's inerrant and infallible Word. Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Thus ends the reading of God's word. May the Lord bless it for his glory and our spiritual benefit. Yesterday I got a request to look at the notes I had on Pilgrim's Progress, which got me thinking about Pilgrim's Progress. Because one of the commentators mentions Pilgrim's Progress in exegeting this passage, especially verse 6. And it refers to this encounter in Pilgrim's Progress early on when Christian is on his way to the celestial city. He meets with formality and hypocrisy. They came tumbling over the wall to get on the way, to get on the path. And Christian was wondering how they got there. And they say this to Christian. They say, what matters which way we get in? If we are in, we are in. You are in the way who we perceive came in at that gate. And we are also in the way that came tumbling over the wall. How is your condition any better than ours? What formality and hypocrisy was saying is, look, it really doesn't matter how we got here. We're both here, so it doesn't matter. To which Christian says that he is following his master's revealed will, when in fact hypocrisy and formality are following their own fancy. It's an interesting little account in Pilgrim's Progress, because in many ways, that's a picture into our modern culture. Many people will say, with hypocrisy and formality, it really doesn't matter how we got into religion, how we believe we're going to heaven, as long as we're trying, as long as we're religious. And don't the conservative pundits on the radio and on television, don't they say the same? We're all the same, as long as we're sincere and religious. It doesn't matter how we got there, as much as we are on the way. It's always an issue in this world to be sincere, to try, to be religious, to be spiritual. That's what matters. But what Jesus says in this passage are startling. His claims are overwhelming. They're very simple. So simple, it's interesting to hear pundits or even Christians trying to defend this, because they try to soft pedal this. And I suspect Spurgeon, as far as I can tell, Spurgeon didn't preach on this because it's so clear. What is there to say? He says it, I am the way and the truth and the life. What is there to say? It's clear. But it appears even to the disciples, they didn't understand what he was saying. Jesus has been revealing himself. They should have recognized the significance of who he is, but they didn't. Jesus explicitly answers the question raised by Thomas. He has already mentioned that he is going to the Father's house in verse 2. Now he states that no one can go to the Father except through him in verse 6. So the first point I want you to understand, it's a simple thing, it's something we all understand, is understand Jesus' startling exclusive claim in verse 6. His startling exclusive claim. Had he simply said in verse 6, I'm the way, no one comes to the Father except through me, the same point would have been made. But Jesus loads it with other aspects of who he is. He has already told us that he is the life in chapter 11. I am the resurrection and the life. And we have been told that grace and truth came through Jesus Christ in 1:17, and that he is, quote, full of grace and truth in 1:14. What is new is the fact that he is the way. But even here, he's already mentioned the similar truth in a different way, where he says, I am the door. So all these things, in some sense, have been already taught, but they come together in crystallized form in verse 6. I want to focus on the way, but I want to touch upon the truth and the life first. As I mentioned, the first point is understand Jesus' startling exclusive claim in verse 6. He says he is the truth. We find early on Jesus is the true light in verse 9 of chapter 1. He is full of grace and truth. And the most significant thing about this reality is that truth about Christ is this, what we're told in verse 18 of chapter 1. Where John states emphatically that no one has seen God except Christ. And quote, he Christ, that is the word, has made him known. The idea is there's only one person that can make the Father known. That was already brought out in chapter 1. When he says he is the truth, he is the truth regarding all of reality. He is the truth regarding who God the Father is. He is the portal. It is only through Him we can understand what truth is. We can understand who the Father is. The point is very simple. The way the phrase is brought out in the original, it is that Jesus explains Him or exegetes Him, makes Him known. He's the only one that can do it. You don't do it on your own. You don't figure it out in your own head. Jesus is the one who gives us a perfect knowledge of who the Father is. So you cannot know the Father without Him. Truth, all of truth, is wrapped up in Him. St. Augustine, so enamored with chapter 1, so enamored with the metaphysical implications of this chapter, he developed a whole what we call an epistemology out of it. He recognized Christ was crucial to our understanding of knowledge itself. But John is going further than that. Jesus is revealing Himself to be the truth of it all. Without Him, you can know nothing that is truly true. There is no sense, there is no meaning, there is no light without Him. And that is why men and women trying to make meaning out of life cannot without Christ. Because He is the truth. And without Him, everything is darkness. And He comes to us bringing light. We can't know God, we can't know truth without Jesus. It's an exclusive claim. And that means you can't figure out the purpose of life. You can't figure out the meaning of life, how God created everything and for what purpose without Him. He's central to our understanding. He is the truth. Now we understand that at some level, but He goes deeper. That you can't even know God the Father without Him, because Jesus Christ is the source of truth and has exclusive claims in giving knowledge of who God the Father is. This is something that every believer understands. How many of you can bear witness to this testimony that when you became a Christian, all of a sudden it made sense. Life made sense precisely because you knew the truth in the person of Jesus Christ. He's the key that unlocks it all. But He is not only the truth, but He is the life. In 1:4, in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. Life comes through Him as He sustains life, gives abundant life, we find in chapter 10, verse 10. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. He gives eternal life. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. All of life is wrapped up in Him. You do not have life in yourself. You and I will die. I am wearing this pair of glasses up here because I am getting old and my body is dying. We are dying people. There is no life in us. We can't breathe life into anything. Inanimate objects remain inanimate. He is the source of life, sustaining life, but more importantly, He gives eternal life. Is it not passing strange that people really want to enjoy life? And myriads of options present themselves. And yet the source of life, the key of life, the abundant life that Jesus offers is set aside so easily. But He is life. Think about it. He is saying to the world, I am the truth and the life. That means you can't know truth apart from Him. You can't have life apart from Him. It's a startling claim. It's an exclusive claim. But the other point He makes, and it's the first one, and that seems to be the focus of this verse, He is the way. In 10:7, Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. And in 10:9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. So the point had been made. Door to eternal life is Christ. Door to the Father is Christ. And there is no other door under heaven and earth by which we can be saved or through which we can enter. It's simple, it's distinct, and it's clear. He is making an absolute claim here. He's already taught in chapter 6 that no one can come to me, he says, unless the Father who sent me draw him, 6:44, unless it is given him from the Father in 6:65. He goes even further when he says that. Think of it. You can't go to Christ. You will not love Christ. You will not seek him unless the Father sends you to him. And then you can't go to the Father unless this Christ draws you to the Father. It's wrapped up in the triune God. And you can't claim he is Lord without the Spirit of God. He's saying he is the way. Now this is startling in our culture. Because Jesus is saying the Father gives exclusive access to the Son, and the Son gives exclusive access to the Father. It's not your intellect, it's not the church, it's not your ability, it's none of those things, it's not education. That means we are utterly dependent upon this God to light upon us with grace that we might know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you and I pray for our unbelieving friends and relatives. Our family has committed to pray more consciously about our own extended family that are unbelievers. We know left to themselves, they would just meander in life and die in death. But we know if God is gracious to them, he will change their heart and enable them to see the wonder of Christ. And this teaches us a simple truth, how we need God to know God. But this claim here that he is the way, let me just give you several misunderstandings regarding this. Notice he doesn't say he is a way, one among many. That is very important. The definite article is there. I am the way. He's not a way, but the way. There is no other way. Notice he's also not saying, not pointing to the way. Meaning he's actually, that's the way. He's the ultimate pointer. No, no. He points to himself. He is the way. You have to go through him. We would love leaders pointing the way, but Jesus doesn't do that. He points to himself, and he says he is the way. Nor does he say he is not the way, or the way our postmodern culture says it, well, he's the way for us. That is a postmodern approach, meaning that in our community, for us, he's the way. We can't make claims about other people, but for us, he's the way. Jesus is not making that claim. He is saying this to the rest of the world. Jesus is saying, I am the way. No one, not just a group of people, but no one comes to the Father except through him. Nor is he just the better way. Well, and this is what some theologians try to argue. This is how you know you can have a sure bet. And they have different philosophical, nice way of doing it. That this is one of the best lives that we have. And you deal with this in Roman Catholic philosophical theology. They develop something like this. And other secular Christian philosophers. And I say secular Christian because they're not really believers, but they claim to be Christians. And they develop this similar idea. Well, he's the better way. And so many people say, well, I'll take my chances. But Jesus doesn't say that. He is the only way, the way. No one, no person, no individual can come to the Father except through Him. It's something that we do not need to be ashamed of. It is His claim. It is not a claim that you and I dogmatically have produced. It is a claim Jesus Himself makes. And if they have problems with it, they have to talk to Him. Because He makes that claim. There's clarity here. Though His disciples did not get it immediately, there's simplicity here. And yet many theologians and pastors, they make it so convoluted. It's very clear and simple. The implications to this are vast. In our postmodern world, Jesus Christ is saying, I am the way. Passionately saying to Islam, to Hinduism, to Judaism, to all the religions of the world, you are lost. I am the way, He says. You are lost and all other religions are idolatry. It is all idolatry. Even Larry King saw it clearly. He says to Joel Osteen, he asks him, doesn't your religion teach that everyone who's not a believer will go to hell? And Joel Osteen is unwilling to say, well, I don't want to judge, you know, for me, etc., etc., etc. But Jesus Christ is making a truth claim here. The implications are vast. Hell without Christ. Because He's the only way. But there's something sweet and comforting in this, my friends. Notice what He doesn't say. There is the way. It's Him. I am the way. It's a person of Christ saying to the world, to you and me, come to me, He says. I am the way, He says. It is through the person of Jesus Christ. It is not impersonal. It is not metaphysical. It is not ethereal. It is not academic. It is through this person believing in Jesus Christ. It is that simple. And that's the sweetness, friends. That our Lord would shut everything out and point to Himself. Because He knows if we believe in Him, we will live forever. That brings us to the second point, and it is a quicker point. It is this. Recognize what this implies about humanity. To make such an exclusive claim, recognize what this implies about humanity. To make such an exclusive claim assumes that in the minds of many, that there are various options, that we believe there are many ways. But Jesus is simply saying, you are lost. Jesus is saying, we need the way, we need the truth, we need the life. We are lost. We live with error. We're dead in sin. And God's Son is here. He didn't send an angel. He didn't send another prophet. God Himself is present in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Recognize what this implies about humanity. Let us say you go to a doctor. You say, doctor, my stomach has been bothering me for a week. I've taken Pepto-Bismol and I've done this and that. It's just bothering me. So he goes to the doctor thinking, well, he'll give another medicine or something. It'll be all cleared up. Only to find out after a few tests, the doctor looks at him with great alarm. He said, we need to take you to the hospital immediately. Many doctors come. He has a barrage of tests and everything. Now, what do you think that man's going to draw from that? I wonder when he's going to give me that pill. Because of all that response indicates there's something serious going on here. And we understand that. There's something serious going on in here. Because Christ comes. And He has to declare to you and me that He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life.
And what does that teach us? That we don't know the way, that we don't have life, that we don't have the truth. We are lost. But we think we have many ways. We are lost, and yet we think we have many ways. Way of human effort and righteousness, the way of being religious, or for those, the way of being spiritual, opposed to organized religion, a way of mysticism, and we have many ways, but Jesus is saying all that is idolatry. All these are expressions of idolatry. Well-intentioned as they are or not, from God's perspective, it is idolatry. Are we offended? To be offended that Jesus is the only way is really to slap God in the face. God did not have to provide a way. He could have allowed us to wallow in our lost condition, but no, He sends His Son. Our culture will say, what matters which way we get in, like Pilgrim's Progress, but it matters because Jesus Christ has made Himself known. It is true. We may be offended by a department store and how they treated us at a certain store. And we can say, I'll never go in there again. I'll go somewhere else. And the options are there. But if we stumble at this point, there are no other options. When Jesus Christ says He is the way, every other way will bring you to death. Because the way is broad that leads to destruction. But the sweetest thing about this passage is what we read in the beginning of this chapter, in verses 2 and 3. That brings us to the third point. Notice why Jesus tells us this. Notice why He tells us this. In verse 3, so that we could be with Him. So that we could be with Him. And in verse 6, so that we can be with the Father. The point of this exclusive claim is not to shut us out, but to bring us in. He's making the way clear so we can have life, that we can know the way, and we can have the truth. Look at what Jesus says. In my Father's house, in verse 2, are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Remember Paul's words in Philippians? To be with Christ, to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better. And that's what heaven is. Heaven is to be with Him. It's to know the way, and in the end, to be with Him forever. I like what Matthew Henry says. He says, this intimates this verse. What many other scriptures declare, that the quintessence of heaven's happiness is being with Christ. That heaven's happiness is being with Christ. That's why He made this known to you and me. Now we can sit here and debate the theology of the exclusive claims, and there are books galore now written talking about how the world is so large and how narrow it must be for us to make these claims. I am not making the claim. Jesus Christ is. But He does it for your benefit and mine in these simple terms. And what is that? So that we can be with Him. That we can be with the Father. So the question for you and me is, are you and I going through Jesus Christ? I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he says, he will be saved. I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And those are startling claims, but good claims for our souls. And I end here. We can sit here and talk about the exclusive claims of Christ. We can theoretically discuss it and biblically defend it. But what does it matter if you and I sit here and discuss this? We do not enter. And this entering is not a physical act of walking down the aisle or writing your name on a piece of paper. But it is to give your heart and life to Christ by believing in Him. That's what going through Him means. And for the youngest to the oldest, that means there has to be a conscious act of faith. If you've been raised in the faith, have you believed with your whole heart? If you've heard it all your life, have you believed with your whole heart? That is going through Jesus Christ. You could actually defend the exclusive claims of Christ and not actually enter in. There are great apologists who can do that. They can argue their case faithfully and yet stand outside. But I ask every one of you that on this day, have you entered through faith in Christ? Because that's what matters. Let's pray. Our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, high and exalted, our intercessor, the great high priest, we pray to you. And we ask, O Lord, that you would have mercy upon souls in this room who have yet to walk in through faith in you. O Father, draw them to the Son, and O Lord, draw them to the Father, that they might be saved. And we do thank you. You have made your word clear to us so that we might know the way, that we might know the truth, and that we might know and have this life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. In your name we pray. Amen.